Welcome to part 7 in our series focusing on the surah of the Noble Quran, none other than Surah Yusuf. We've been looking at the story from the very beginning, and we've come to the point where the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam had come with the young brother Binyamin, and he was detained in Egypt. His brothers then returned home and told Yaqub alayhi salam what had happened there. They tried to assure him that they were telling the truth, which they said could be confirmed from the people of Egypt as well as from the caravan who had come from Egypt to Canaan. And also they tried to assure him and to convince him on the events that Benjamin had stolen, and he was apprehended and arrested. Yaqub alayhi salam had experienced the deception previously, and therefore he did not believe them on this occasion, and he simply said, "Bal sawwalat lakum anfusukum amra." Rather, your inner selves has seduced you to something, so patience is the best for me. The statement of yours is not correct that you are saying to them, and you have made it up yourself, but even now, this patience I choose to observe, only that would be best for me. So, it is possible that this comment that Yaqub alayhi salam had made referred to what was made up in Egypt, whereby Benjamin was arrested under a false charge of theft, only to achieve a particular purpose, and the ultimate result of which was to unfold later on in a better form. What did he say? Asallahu ayyatiyani bihim jami'ah. I'm hopeful Allah will bring them all together to me. In short, the outcome of the refusal of Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam to accept the statement of his sons at this time was that there was no theft, really, nor was Benjamin arrested. The truth of the matter will be found elsewhere, and this was true in his place. But whatever was said to his sons, as they knew it, he wasn't happy with that. Anyway, what then the next verse, As-salahu ayyati nabiyya jamiya, inna huwa al-alim al-hakim, Allah will bring them all together to me, and he is aware, and he is all-knowing. وَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفَ وَبْيَضَّتْ أَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. And he turned away from them and said, "Oh my sorrow over Yusuf, oh my sorrow over Yusuf," and his eyes had become white out of grief. His eyes had become white out of grief. Now, the fraternity of Anbiya al-Islam are put through the most difficult trials and tribulations. And then there are different types of trials and tribulations. Based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom, Allah tests every Nabi with whatever test He wills in according to the capacity of that Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed extraordinary love for Yusuf al-Islam in the heart of Yaqub al-Islam. And then this beloved, graceful child who was the beacon of light of the family of Ibrahim al-Islam was separated from Yaqub in what we could say a horrifying manner. And this heart-rendering calamity completely tore Yaqub al-Islam apart, afflicted his heart. He never uttered a word of complaint to anyone. He never took revenge from anyone. He never showed any anger. He never uttered any words of sorrow. He suppressed himself. The sorrow in his heart would find an outlet in his eyes. And despite decades of tearing eyes and a raging heart, he did not permit any failure or in performance of his obligations. You know, sometimes we become despondent and we think, my du'as are not being accepted. Why should I even bother to make du'as? Even make namaz, because it's of no benefit. That shouldn't be the case. Allah says, وَبْيَضَّتْ أَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ, that his eyes became white out of grief and he was suppressing it. The word here is kadhim, that he was suppressing it. And he turned away from them saying that, how sad I am about Yusuf. His eyes had turned white over sorrow and he was suppressing his anger and grief. After the second shock that had hit him, Sayyidina Yaqub al-Islam literally then closed the chapter of talking of his sons about this matter. And he turned to Allah with focusing Allah And what happened was that his constant crying and because of his separation from Yusuf al-Islam turned his eyes white with sorrow. And as a result, he lost his eyesight or it became very weak. Some of the Mufassirin continue by saying that for 6 years, that this state continued for 6 years when his sight had nearly gone. And what is being said? فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ, which can be explained by saying that he had become silent, speechless, unable to share his pain with anyone. The word kadhim has been derived from kadhama, which he means to be choked up or to be filled up. In the sense, that would mean that his heart was all filled with sorrow and his tongue was tired and he could not talk about his grief. The word kadhama is also taken in the sense of suppressing anger. In a way that anger, despite having one's heart filled with it, it did not motivate him to do anything. وَمَا يَكْذِمْ الْغَيْذَ يَأْجُرْهُ اللَّهِ. That is, whoever suppresses his anger and does not act upon it, Allah will reward that person. In another hadith it is said that Allah Ta'ala will bring such people before the whole multitude of people on the day of Qiyamah and give them the option to take whatever of the blessings of Jannah they like. So those who suppress. So even though he could have punished his sons, he didn't do that. Many times we have the option, we may want to punish, but we choose not to. And that is the choice that we choose. And there is a great benefit to that. At this point, Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah, is reported, according to which, at the time of distress, when one recites Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, to Allah belong and to Him is our return, this is one of the distinguishing characteristics of this ummah. And this, saying these words is highly effective in delivering oneself from the sorrow. That we cannot understand why it has been called the distinguishing characteristic of this ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, since Sayyidina Yaqub, when choked with deadly sorrow and shock, did not say these words. Instead, he said, Ya Asafa ala Yusuf. So we can understand the great benefit of saying the words, Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. Now, something that we can reflect on, that Imam Al-Qurtubi has said that the event relating to Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam proved that it is wajib on every Muslim that when faced with distress or pain, in the case of his personality, nafsihi, or his children or family or property, then he or she should seek redress from it by resorting to patience. That if something afflicts you, what you need to do is exercise patience, and it is best to resign to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the decree. Whatever happens to you, you know, whatever happens to your children under difficult circumstances, what do? You exercise patience under those circumstances. Imam Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah has said, out of what one swallows, two are the best in the sight of Allah. Out of all the things that people swallow, two are the best in the sight of Allah: to do sabr on pain or distress, and to swallow anger. To swallow anger, these are the two best things that a person could swallow: swallowing your pain and swallowing your anger. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Man batha lam yasbir, that one who goes about narrating his distress before everyone has not observed patience. The one who goes about narrating his distress before everyone has not observed patience, has not observed sabr. Just think of the typical scenario where someone tells you, you know, my children are troubling me like this and like this and that, and the other person listening on says that, ach, that's nothing, let me tell you about my problem. And we're competing with each other to see who has a bigger problem. Or what is another say that, ach, you know, you immediately start talking about your problem and people talk about it. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was experienced difficulty at the time of Hunayn, when he had distributed the booty to certain individuals to strengthen their iman, and someone came and said, هذه قسمتن, this is such a distribution. La yuridu bihi, or he said something to the effect that the happiness, the pleasure of Allah is not being intended in this. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was pained by this, but he didn't talk about, oh, my heart grieves at this. He said that Rahimallahu Akhi Musa, Rahimallahu, may Allah have mercy upon my brother Musa, لَقَدْ أُوذِيَ بِأَكْثَرَ مِنْ هَذَا فَصَبَرْ. He had to endure more, yet he was patient. So when we, in times of difficulty, when people talk about sickness, then they talk about in such a way as though their sickness is the worst, that there can be no one more sick. You know, I have pressure, sugar, cholesterol, heart problems, and we enumerate, we talk about it as though our sickness is the worst. Yet, when you talk to everyone and you go about narrating your distress, the hadith says, Man batha lam yasbir, that one who goes about narrating his distress before everyone has not observed patience. Patience is that you complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah had conferred upon Sidna Yaqub the reward of shuhada, martyrs in the path of Allah for his patience. And in this too, ummah too, whoever observes patience while in distress shall receive a similar reward. The reason for the severe trial and test that Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam had to endure, it is said that one day Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam was performing tahajjud salah, and Sayyidina Yusuf was sleeping before him, and all of a sudden a sound of snoring by Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam had caused the attention to be diverted to him. And this happened twice or thrice, and then Allah said to the angels, look, this is my friend and my favorite servant. See how he, in the middle of the address and approach to me, turns his attention to someone other than me. And by my honor and power, I shall take these two eyes of his out, the eyes with which he has turned his attention to someone other than me, and the one to whom he has turned his attention, I shall separate him for a long time. Therefore, in a hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, it's narrated by Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anhu, it appears that she asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how is it to look at elsewhere during salah? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, through it, the shaitan snatches the salah of his servant of Allah away from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So this was, you know, once it occurred, a slight diversion, just a slight, and that was the consequences. These were the great people of Allah, hasanatul abrar, sayyatul muqarrabin, that the higher the position, the smaller the error, the greater to extent to which one is taken to task for that. This has been narrated by the Ma'riful Qur'an. In the Ma'riful Qur'an, this incident that I shared with you, what we understand is that we need to keep our focus in salah. Sometimes we begin our salah, and from beginning till end, it is as though the tape recorder is playing, or we aim a CD, we just go through the motions, we don't know what we read, when we read it, how did we read it, and before we know it, the salah has been completed. And we don't even know if it's 3 rakats or 4 rakats. Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi Rahimullah said that we say Subhana Rabbil A'la 10 times, 11 times like a machine in salah. If we say it once, will be true realization, then the impact is such that it is sufficient for our salvation. Anyway, this is what had transpired with Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam. He continued to grieve without uttering a word. People then started to speak to him and address him, and they said to him, قالوا تالله تفتأ تذكر يوسف حتى تكون حرضا أو تكون من الهالكين. What is this? By Allah, you will never give up on speaking about Yusuf until you reach the last moments of this life, or that you destroy yourself. What is it? At what point are you going to stop now? Enough is enough. That is what people's feeling was at this time, that now we just keep hearing of the same thing on and on and on, that now enough is enough. And Yaqub alayhi salam was being advised that, are you going to continue till your death, or are you going to continue till you destroy yourself? Are you waiting till you die, and that's only at that point? And he simply responded by saying that, are you teaching me patience? An impatient one is one who complains before the creation of his or her pain. I'm expressing mine to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's what he said.
إنما أشكو بثي وحزني إلى الله وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون. I only express my anguish and sorrow before Allah, and I know from Allah that which you do not know. And I know from Allah that which you do not know. Perhaps he was referring to the fact that Yusuf is alive, and that I will certainly meet him, and that the dream will be realized. All of that could be referred to. And that is why he said, this is a test to me, to check the limit of my tolerance, to check the limit to which I can bear this. Here he uses the word bathi. We spoke about huzn. Huzn was mentioned in one word. Allah says, وَبْيَضَّتْ أَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. Then before that, يَا أَسَفَى. So there are various levels. Al-asfu, al-huznu, and al-bathu. These are levels of grief. And وَالْبَثُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. The ulama say, the commentators say, that bath is higher level of grief than huzn. It is called bath because the one who, the person who endures this, he has an extreme level, and he is at such a point, at almost the breaking point, yet he maintains control over himself. At this point now, Yaqub al-Islam then speaks to all his sons and he says, Ya bani adhabu, fatahassasu min Yusuf wa akhihi, wa la tayasu min rawhillah, innahu la yayasu min rawhillahi, illa al-qawmu al-kafirun. O sons, go in search for Yusuf and his brothers, and do not despair of the benevolence of Allah. Surely none despair in Allah's benevolence, beneficence, except those who are unbelievers. It seems as though, and it's clear from this, that Yaqub al-Islam was aware that his sons were alive. And it is the duty of a Muslim that even if he's faced with a gloomy situation equal to that of a rocky mountain or waves of the sea, we should never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never display any cowardice. And in struggling according to the best of one's ability, one should at all times remain focused and realize what is required of you. So what he said, go search for Yusuf and try to free his brother Binyamin in some way or the other. It's not far-fetched. Allah may bring all of us together again. And Yaqub al-Islam did not mention the third brother because he remained behind voluntarily. So why should he remain behind once Binyamin had been released? So now what happens? Upon the instruction of their father, the brothers left for Egypt once again. They had no knowledge of the whereabouts of Yusuf. So they now thought that, let us go to the brother that we know, and that is Benjamin. That's why let's go to Egypt. Because of the drought, they were also in need of grain. And they thought that they'll ask the Aziz in that regard. They found him to be lenient in the past. So they would speak to him about Binyamin. So when they went to the Aziz al-Misr, what did they say? فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ. Look at this now. This is absolute desperation that they've been broken down to the core. And the words that they say at this time, and this is how we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ. O Aziz of Egypt. مَسَّنَا وَأَهْلَنَا. وجئنا ببضاعة مزجاة فأوف لنا الكيل وتصدق علينا إن الله يجزي المتصدقين. That we and our family are experiencing great difficulty because of the drought and the scarcity. All our household effects have been sold. We have a little merchandise of low value that is left over. We brought it in order to purchase some grain. We have full hope in your previous noble character and kindness that you will not bother about this valuable valueless merchandise of ours, and that in our exchange for this little merchandise, you will give us grain in full measure as you have done previously. And then they said, what the saddaq alayna, that this concessions that you're giving to us, in fact, it will be a charity to us. It will be a charity to us. Can you imagine
the impact that this had on Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, listening to the desperate situation of his brothers, knowing that these circumstances has affected his father also, and it has brought them to this level that they are absolutely destitute. Upon hearing this, Yusuf alayhi salam bursts out crying. The fountain of kindness and mercy gushes forth from his heart and flowed towards his eyes. And under the order of Allah, at this point, he discloses his true identity to them. And he also makes reference to what they had done in the past to him. And what does he say? هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ. Do you know what you have done to Yusuf and his brothers when they lacked understanding? Allahu Akbar. This is the height of patience, the height of dignity, the height of nobility, that Yusuf alayhi salam, his entire life, he never uttered a word of complaint against his brothers. And even at this time when he is posing the question and reminding them what they did so many years ago, what does he say? When you did it, when you lacked understanding, you didn't realize the true nature of Allah's bounties and the favors upon me. And after all those years of difficulty, it is as though he's giving them an excuse that, no, I understand that it was through your ignorance. Look at the tone that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had chosen under these circumstances. Instead of exposing the crime and elaborating on it and laboring on it and having his moment to get back at them, he then uses the opportunity and he speaks to them in a very compassionate and kind manner. And this reminds us of another very important incident, the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Harun. And when they were sent to Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. That speak to him in a compassionate manner. Speak to him in a kind way so that it may impact upon him. Subhanallah. We need to realize the importance. Just yesterday, there was a WhatsApp message that was being circulated that when our children misbehave, we tend to lash out to them and scream and speak to them in a rough manner, in a cold manner. And reference was made to the fact that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Musa alayhi salam and Harun to Fir'aun, he said, gentle speech. How terrible and arrogant was Fir'aun, and how evil was his treatment of the Bani Israel, and how he turned his face in contempt towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was so indifferent, but despite all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salatu wasalam to speak to him in a gentle, kind manner, just in case he may come around and believe. And this is a very, very important lesson in how we should treat difficult people and those headed in the wrong direction, especially our own children. So in the same point that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he knew exactly what they had committed, and he remembers all of that, but he doesn't mention it to them. He mentions it indirectly, not to further embarrass them and to put them in a situation where they feel further embarrassed after what they had already done. They then, obviously, after this had transpired, they asked, "Innaka la anta Yusuf?" That, are you really Yusuf? They were surprised by the question. That who is this person who knows the secret of our family, despite such a long time having elapsed? And what connection is there between the Aziz of Egypt and Yusuf? And they had witnessed the extraordinary kindness and the special treatment of Binyamin before. So the question immediately, perhaps then at that moment, it came to them that perhaps they must be looking at Yusuf. And at that point, they looked at him very carefully. And he must have now made himself more visible. You know, sometimes a person has a throne on, or a person has some garments covering the upper part, maybe a scarf or anything like that. And now when you remove those garments, you can see the person more clearly. So he made himself more visible to them, and immediately they recognize, and he said, قَالَ أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي. I am Yusuf, and this is my brother. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Surely Allah has been kind to us. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been kind to us. Allah has been very kind, and Allah delivers one from those, from the most difficult circumstances. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to confer His bounties. So he immediately acknowledged that this has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He has saved from the worst circumstances. He then gives an important bit of advice which we need to reflect on. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَسْبِرْ. Surely whoever is fearful and patient, Allah does not destroy the reward of the righteous ones. Allah does not destroy the reward of the righteous one. When a person is afflicted by calamity and does not go out of the bounds of the Sharia, nor does a person become distressed, then that bounty which he receives is far greater than the actual calamity. The bounty of being within the boundaries of the Sharia. So surely, whoever fears Allah and observes patience, then Allah does not waste the reward of the good doers. Abstaining from sin and patience and fortitude, these are two qualities which will deliver a person from any disaster and distress. And in several places in the Noble Quran, there's been mention of prosperity and success depending on two qualities. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَذُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُمْ شَيَّا. That if you keep patient and fear, then their cunning plots shall not harm you in any way. So we need to remember that at all circumstances, that patience and piety, taqwa, is what will save us from all difficulties and all challenges. At this point, they were forced to acknowledge, and they said, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. But Allah has indeed chosen you above us, and we were certainly in error. That Allah has blessed you over us in every way, and you fully deserve this. It was our error and mistake that we did not appreciate you. Your dream eventually proved to be true, and our jealousy went in vain. Our jealousy went in vain. There was no benefit to that. We had wasted our energy in being jealous. And that is what happens, really. When you're jealous of someone, it is you who put yourself in greater difficulty, because you're burning yourself up. That fire of jealousy devours you up totally. And in the end, what happens? There's no consequences, because that which you are jealous about will not be taken away because of your jealousy. The person won't be deprived of the bounties that they're enjoying. So jealousy has no benefit. It only harms the jealous person. And therefore they acknowledge their mistake. And they say that we were from the wrongdoers. And look at the magnanimity of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Before even they asked to be pardoned, he said, قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Now there is no reproach on you this day. May Allah forgive you, and He is the most merciful of all those who show mercy. Yusuf alayhi salam did not even want to hear much from his brothers, that, you know, an elaborate apology, that this is what we did and we were wrong. You know, people demand apologies and elaborate ones. He didn't want to even hear that. And it is as though you're saying that, Do not even mention it. There is no approach whatsoever on you today. I have forgiven all your mistakes, and all that I have said now is to show to you the consequences of Allah's favors upon me, of exercising patience and adopting piety. And as though he was saying that after this day there will be no mention of your mistakes, I make dua that Allah, He also forgives you whatever mistakes you've committed. Sometimes, you know, we all make mistakes, and at times when we make a mistake, people then throw it back at us. Or someone committed a mistake, what we do is we throw it in that person's face every now and then. That, yeah, don't talk too much, you're the one who did this, you're the one who did that. And we remind the person of the errors that they have committed time and again. Now, that shouldn't be the case. We shouldn't, you know, delve onto that. Once it's over, it's over. We should remember that, and we should turn our focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua for forgiveness. At present, Yusuf al-Islam was saying that, look, I'm unable to travel to Syria. You go and bring our parents and all our relatives here to Egypt. Yusuf al-Islam may have learned either through divine revelation or through his brothers, his father has lost his sight, or that it had gone very weak. He therefore gave his, what he did is he gave his kurta, his kameez, his shirt to them and told them to place it over the eyes of the father. And he then said to them, اِذْهَبُوا بِقَمِيسِ هَذَا فَأَلْقُوهُ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِ أَبِي يَأْتِ بَصِيرًا وَأْتُونِي بِأَهْلِكَ وَجْمَعِينَ. Take the shirt of mine and place it on my father's head, that he may come to me seeing with his eyes and bring your entire family along. So, it is said with regards to this kurta itself, Yusuf alayhi salam, it was sewn from cotton of Jannah. كان ذلك القميص من نسج الجنة. The cotton was from Jannah. أمره جبريل أن يرسل إليه قميصه. جبريل عليه السلام had instructed him to send his kurta to Yaqub alayhi salam. And it is said, this was the very kurta of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And it was this kurta that the people had removed from him when they had thrown him into the fire. They had removed his clothing and thrown him in. And Jibreel had come with a kurta from silk from Jannah and had made him put it on for him. And that was the kurta Ibrahim alayhi salam had had. And when he passed away, warithahu Ishaq, it then went into the possession of his son Ishaq. فَلَمَّا مَاتَ وَرِثَهُ يَعْقُوبُ. And when he passed away, it went into the possession of Yaqub. And when Yusuf alayhi salam had grown up, Yaqub alayhi salam had put this on him. And had, so that is how he had received that kursa. He then sent that very kursa to Yaqub alayhi salam because it had the A of Jannah with it, and he told them that no sick person or anyone afflicted would be except that that person would be cured. And he told them to put that alquhu ala wajhi abi yati basira, that put it on my father's face, and his sight will return. So this was a miracle. That to regain the sight all of a sudden, this was a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they do just that. But subhanallah, Yaqub alayhi salam, as they come in closer, look at the power of Allah. Yusuf alayhi salam is present in Egypt. Yaqub alayhi salam never said that he could smell the fragrance of what he said. Never said that he could smell the fragrance of Yusuf. This was at this time he said, Inni la ajidu riha Yusuf. He said that I can smell the fragrance of Yusuf al-Islam. This is because Allah wanted to test him at the end. Now, up until this point, he never said it. Up until this point, he never said that, you know, I can smell the fragrance. But as the brothers are now bringing to the father the shirt, and the caravan had left with the shirt, the fragrance of Yusuf starts to begin to perfume Yaqub al-Islam's nose. And at this time, we can see the supreme and extraordinary power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A famous and well-known Nabi like Yaqub alayhi salam remained in Syria A great personality like Yusuf ruled over Egypt. His brothers came to Egypt on several occasions and remained as guests. Despite all of this, Allah's wisdom, he kept the father and son separated for decades and completed the test upon them, making them shed tears of blood. SubhanAllah, this is the power of Allah and how great is His sovereignty. In the end, he was now, the entire incident coming towards a culmination. And what does he say? That I can smell the fragrance. وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتْ الْإِيرُ قَالَ أَبُمْ إِنِّي أَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسْفَ لَوْلَا أَن تُفَنِّدُونَ. If you will not pronounce me to be senile, I can smell the fragrance of Yusuf al-Islam. See, I'm saying this very hesitantly because you will not comprehend it. You will say to this, oh man. You know, we usually say that, ah, that's all you know. You're going on and on about the same old thing. Speak about something new. Say something different. When people get old, then they continue to say the same thing and people say, ah, the old man is senile now. So when old people say something, you say he goes on and on. Yaqub al-Islam also feared that that is what people would said, but, and that is exactly what they said. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَفِي ضَلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ. But Allah, you are still in that old era. Your love of Yusuf and your conviction that he's alive and that you will meet him again is firmly embedded in your heart, and it is these old thoughts which are causing you to get the fragrance of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So what we pick up at this point, and this is where we're going to stop, is the power of patience. We need to be very careful as to how we conduct ourselves at the time of adversity. All conditions come from Allah. The conditions that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are there to test us. If we survive, if we are to be patient, means not to talk to everyone, not to exaggerate, to complain to Allah alone, and to wait for His help, not to say things that are inappropriate or to adopt unlawful means, that is all part of being impatient. One needs to be steadfast, one needs to remain focused and realize that everything is in the decree of Allah. And once you realize that, you know, this world is temporary and Allah is at His disposal of all affairs, and conditions will change. The man who is wealthy today may possibly be poor tomorrow. The person who is poor tomorrow may be wealthy today, the next day. The person who is poor today may be wealthy tomorrow. The person who is sick today may be healthy tomorrow. The person who is very arrogant and very proud and boastful about his health and his good physique may be weak and sick tomorrow. Conditions in this world change all the time, and conditions come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the sole disposer of all affairs. Whatever happens in this world only happens with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once you realize that if mankind had to come together from the first till the last with the intention of benefiting you in the smallest way, they cannot benefit you in any way whatsoever. If they have to come together from the first man to set foot on this world, to the last man to set foot on this world, with the intention of harming you, of depriving you, of holding back from you, of causing difficulty to you, they cannot do anything except what Allah has decreed. Now, this is an important part of the lesson, the patience and how to deal with adversity. Every one of us, we have our own conditions in our lives. We have our own circumstances. We have things troubling us on a personal level. We have conditions around us. Everyone has some challenge. It is for us to look at, to analyze, and to apply, and see how is it that I need to exercise patience. What is my grief? What could be my figurative pain of separation from Yusuf? What is it that I need to exercise patience on? How am I conducting myself at the time of adversity? This is what we need to reflect on, and this is the message that we pick up from today's focus on Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and the focus with regards to the incident. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from adversity. At all times we make dua for afiyat, but when the condition does come, then we make dua that Allah alleviates it and let us be from those who are patient, who do not fail at the time of a test.